And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Several weeks ago, I had a friend as my guest here on Power of Prophecy. His name, Freeman. And he and I discussed the mind control that the Illuminati are exercising in regards to what I simply called beauty queens. You know, Marilyn Monroe, Jane Mansfield, Anna Nicole Smith, Britney Spears, Madonna, Christina Aguilera, and so forth. Princess Diana, Grace Kelly. We could talk about others. But we looked at the occult understructure, the underpinning of each one of these young women and their very tragic, broken lives. But as I began to think, making notes over the last couple of weeks, it struck me how much we are living today in a mind-controlled world. A universe, I call it a universe of unreality. And yet, there's so many TV shows today that they claim are reality-based. Reality TV shows. But watch those shows for any length of time and you find there's very little reality. There's a lot of fantasy, fiction, and make-believe, magic, and evil. Sinister evil. It seems to me that the entire globe is permeated today with occult ritual and evil of a spectacular nature. And I'd like to talk to you about that today because it affects everything that we do. It affects our daily lives. You cannot escape this world that we're in. And your children are saturated in it. Your wife or your husband. How can we escape such a satanic world? Jesus, of course, told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." I believe that's a great answer. But as far as this world, it does belong to Satan. Paul said that Satan or Lucifer is indeed God of this world, and he has taken captive the minds of men and women. And no wonder they play their bit parts. Truman Capote, the famous novelist, I believe he was a monster of a man, homosexual. He wrote such books as In Cold Blood and these horrible murder nonfiction accounts. He once said, "Everyone is famous for 15 minutes. Everyone is famous for 15 minutes. And, you know, it does seem like that. The names come and go, the different persons, and everything changes, and yet the world gets crazier and crazier. More and more, we're going deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole of Alice in Wonderland. We have not yet looked behind the curtains of the wizard. If you'll remember the movie, The Wizard of Oz. We're going down that golden brick road to the Emerald City, but we don't know what's going to be there when we get there. And I'm afraid the wizard is not going to be a kindly old gentleman as in the movie with Judy Garland. I'm afraid he will have horns and be a vampire monster demon from hell named Satan. And people will surely be surprised. I want to make as the subject or the title of today's discussion. That's what I don't like to call these sermons or preachings. They're just discussions that I have with friends. You're my friend. Everyone who listens to this program, I consider my friend. I do. And when you write me letters, when you write me emails, I try to address you as a friend. Now, sometimes friends can be pretty blunt with each other. You do want me to be honest with you, don't you? But nevertheless, don't think for a moment I am not your friend. I don't hate anybody. I'm not angry at anybody. I don't dislike any race or any person because of their color or whatever. None of that means anything to me because the Bible says God is no respecter of persons, and that even extends to male and female, the sexes. I consider you my friend. Whatever you are, whatever shape you're in, if you're 90 years old or nine, if you're fat or skinny and tall, short, it doesn't. What is it? What does all that matter? Your flesh will be dust someday, and the only question is, where will your soul be? Now, in thinking about this topic, I believe that the best title would be this: Occult Kabbalistic Rituals of the Illuminati. Occult Kabbalistic Rituals of the Illuminati. That's what we're going to be discussing and examining. And I would subtitle it, Mind Control, Magic, and the End of America. A lot of people say, well, what is magic? Well, are you talking about David Copperfield? Are you talking about the guys that would go on stage and it would appear like they're sawing a woman, you know, an attractive woman, and they stick her in a box and they saw her in half. They pull rabbits out of hats. They do card tricks. No. We're talking about occult magicians who lead nations, who are bankers, who have their fingers in the machinery of government and economics and religion and sociology, and are thereby able to strangle the lifeblood out of the common working man and woman. Let me give you a definition of magic. Now, this is my definition, but it's based on my research into this area, and I have expressed this somewhat in such books as Codex Magica and Circle of Intrigue, Dark Majesty, that I've written. But a good definition of magic, I believe, is simply this. It is the shaping of reality according to thoughts or thought and ritual materialism. Let me give you that again because it's pretty long and it sounds gobbledygook, but every bit of what I just told you is important. Magic, and that's what's happening all around us. The world is not happening by accident. Things are being shaped by occult magicians and high levels of authority, some behind the scenes now. Others are presidents and prime ministers, speakers of the House and so forth, bankers, CEOs of huge corporations, head of world international organizations, the United Nations and so forth. But magic is the shaping of reality according to thought and according to ritual materialism. Now, reality is changed then. Look back over your own lives, but I don't know how old you are, but I'm in my 60s, and I can look back and I see how much change has taken place. Not because simply of technology, not because of, you know, the march of history, accidental, as people believe it to be, but on purpose, deliberately, intentionally being perverted and twisted into a grotesque image. But it is real, or is it? Shaping of reality according to thought. Evil people want things to be a certain way, and they work toward that. They think it, and when they think it, they want to make it happen. What they think, their thoughts, what they want the world to be, they work to realize to make come true. It might be dream works to you. It might be just their ideas, but ideas have consequences. Ideas, when brought into fruition, change things. Now, not only do these occult world powerful magicians use their thoughts, and their sinister thoughts, their wicked, their devilish thoughts. What they want to do is not what you and I want. They don't want world peace, harmony, love. They want blood. They want brutality. They want death. They want darkness. They want the Grim Reaper to visit this planet. So their thoughts are different than yours and mine, and certainly far different afield than our Lord Jesus Christ. In addition to the shaping of reality according to their perverted and wicked thought system, they use something called ritual materialism. They use things to get what they want, to shape the world. And they use these things, these material goods, items, artifacts, objects, these material things in a ritualistic fashion. They arrange the world, its ritual material things. They arrange it in a ritual pattern, which symbolically indicates what their evil thought is. In other words, what they intend to do, they arrange the world materially to accomplish. President Bill Clinton was once asked, "What is your goal?" This was shortly after he became president. He said, "My goal is to reinvent the world." Reinvent the world. Back during the French Revolution of the late 1700s, the leaders of the Illuminati said, "Our goal is to reinvent the world. We have it within our power to reinvent the world." Thomas Paine, who wrote the little pamphlet Common Sense, which called King George of England a pompous jackass. That's Thomas Paine's words now, not mine. Thomas Paine was an atheist who hated God, hated Christ Jesus. Yet, for some reason, he's known as one of the fathers of our country, Mr. Paine. He also said, "We have it in our power to change the world, to configure the world." There were many Illuminati in America seeking to do exactly that, along with some good people as well. Newt Gingrich, who is really one of these Illuminati stooges, former Speaker of the House, the man who foolish evangelist Jerry Falwell called recently a great American statesman. Mr. Gingrich said, "My goal is to shift the whole world, to make the whole world shift. And I'm doing it," he said. "I'm doing it." Oh, these people are very pompous, are they not? And their ideas that they're using to shape this new world, this reality, are quite large as well. George Bush was recently quoted in a speech talking about democracy. It's interesting, because many people are saying to him, "Why are we wasting American blood, American lives in Iraq?" But President Bush said, "Well, democracy, we're doing it for democracy in Iraq. After all, democracy is not just for the United States. It's an idea." George Washington, he said, and our founding fathers didn't fight a revolution for the United States. They fought for an idea. Oh, really? I thought how mistaken Bush was to some extent, because George Washington, our first president, actually gave a farewell address in which he warned us not to meddle in the affairs of other nations. Later, I believe it was President John Adams, or maybe his son, John Quincy Adams, who in his farewell speech warned America it should not go searching after monsters overseas. Bush is searching for monsters overseas. He says he wants to make these monsters democratic, but it appears that the Islamic mullahs of Iraq and the people there, for the most part, don't give a fig about democracy. It may be a big idea in Bush's mind. His father, George Herbert Walker Bush, talked about a big idea. He gave a speech to the United Nations. He said our war in the Persian Gulf is fought for a big idea, the New World Order. Now what we have, you see, is the shaping of ideas. Did I not tell you that's magic? The shaping of reality, I should say, according to thought or ideas and ritual materialism. So you arrange the materials that you've got, the resources you have, could be military equipment, other material goods. You arrange it in a ritual fashion to achieve your ideas, the New World Order. The idea of democracy, of course, that really means mob rule. And this is a big idea, and it's being brought forth by a big idea group called the Illuminati. And yet they are only a small band of men, of Kabbalist occult magicians. And it has gotten to the point today that presidents, prime ministers, have really no authority, no power. President Bush says, I'm the decider. But anyone in the Washington Beltway knows he decides nothing. Jay Leno gets on the Tonight Show and jokes about Dick Cheney calling all the shots as vice president. Others say that everything that Bush is doing and did in Iraq was all decided in advance by a group of neocon Jews who put out a report called Project for a New American Century. And this is exactly what they said to do. Everything Bush is doing is according to a script. Every actor to play his appointed role needs a script. And they are not allowed to deviate from the script. With the introduction of the computers in the world and the internet, we have what we call cyberspace, and we have what is now known as virtual reality. Now we have magic, the shaping of reality according to thought and ritual materialism, but we have the opportunity to create a virtual world. Now virtual means nearly the same, almost virtual. Is it possible that a woman could have a virtual husband? I believe so. Could it be that a man could have a virtual wife? I believe so. I talked to a man not too long ago. He said, I thought, and he told me the name of his beloved. I thought she loved me, but I found out she had three more. And she was doing ABC, and she spent all the money in our bank account, and everything looked so good and spanking wonderful, but wow, I've lost everything when all the truth came out. I didn't have a real wife at all, he said. But she looked good. She had an aura about her. All my friends loved her till that day she ran away with our bank account. With that auto mechanic, well, at least she had somebody to fix her car if it broke down, I suppose. Maybe she would could be called a virtual wife. She wasn't real. And you can change the characteristics of such a wife. Just go to your computer and you can make anybody look any way you want today. I guess that's an advantage. You can put your photograph on the internet and you can make yourself look 20 pounds less. Or if somebody wants to do a bad trick on you, they can make you look 20 pounds heavier. You can do it. Virtual reality. Reality changes. I tell you, I read about myself on the internet sometime and I say, who is that guy? Tex Morse. He must really be a jerk. Because people have created an image of me. That's not even true. They say things that I believe. I don't even believe. I've never taught such things. Somebody said, I went to the Wikipedia and I read about you and I was so surprised. I'm so disappointed in you, Tex Morse. Well, I am too. I'm disappointed in whoever this guy Tex Morse is that the Wikipedia describes. But get the name of it. It's not encyclopedia anymore. It's the Wikipedia. Does that mean wicked? The wicked encyclopedia? Must be. I mean, I'm surprised it didn't start off by saying Tex Morse owns 3 brothels and runs casinos in Las Vegas or something. It probably will after today's show. Maybe I've given people an idea. They go in, they just program what's ever in. You see, the Wikipedia, the encyclopedia online, did not get experts and authorities to write these descriptions, these facts. It's whoever will. I can go in and I can change George Washington. I can say he was the 28th president of the United States. And Wikipedia just sticks it in there quite often. Oh, every once in a while they'll go back and change it and rejigger it and all that. My point is, there's a virtual Tex Morse on the internet. It's not even me. And you know, every once in a while they actually say things that are better than me. Somebody recently said I was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the U.S. military. I got a big promotion. I didn't deserve it. Other people said he was an intelligence officer in the Air Force. I was not an intelligence officer, but that's what they say. Does that mean somebody thought I was intelligent? I don't know. I don't know what they meant by that. But you can't believe everything you read. And today you can't believe very much of what you see. Bill Clinton in 1998, and by the way, I'm reading from the book, The Synagogue of Satan, a book I'm going to tell you about it in a little bit, because talk about virtual reality. I mean, the Synagogue of Satan is the Illuminati group that has helped to foster this world of unreality, a virtual reality, a make-believe Alice in Wonderland world that is very confusing and hobgoblin-like. Listen to what it says here. 1998, my good friend Andrew Hitchcock, the author of The Synagogue of Satan, says, in September, Bill Clinton, while on a visit to Ireland, makes the following startling admission as to who really makes the decisions in the world. Quote, this is Bill Clinton talking. Off the cuff. Quote, you know, by the time you become the leader of a country, someone else makes all the decisions. You may find you can get away with virtual presidents, virtual prime ministers, virtual everything. President George Bush is not president of the United States. He's a virtual president. He's a created image. No wonder in Revelation 13 it talks about the beast who points everybody to this strange being who was wounded as if dead but comes back to life and commands that everyone worship the image of the beast who is made to walk and talk. But he's not real. But he's in the image of the beast. He walks, he talks. Virtual. A virtual beast. Some years ago, driving down the road and my dad's old Buick. He was very proud of that Buick. Had a few years on it, had a few scratches, but he liked it. That was back in the days when Buicks were Buicks. I was just a young man. Song came on. I believe the singer was Don McLean, if I can remember it. It went bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And good old boys, drinking whiskey and rye, saying, this will be the day that I die. Bye-bye, Miss American Pie. I listened to that song, and you know, it was, first of all, it was very catchy, and it became a huge number one hit on the charts. But more than that, it was almost like an anthem. It was the ending of the age of reality for America. And now we were moving into something unreal, something dark and mysterious and evil and ugly and grim and full of pus. And oh, America changed. And somehow Mr. McLean was able to capture the spirit of the new filth America. America, American pie, of course, you know, nothing could be more American than apple pie. And yet it was the end of it. It's interesting, the good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye. Later on, you know, it became quite an infamous thing that many of the Manchurian mind-controlled murderers and assassins, when they went back and they got search warrants and searched their homes and apartments, they found that book, The Catcher in the Rye. A little coincidence, perhaps, here with the song. And then look at what happened. The song, of course, talked about the pretender in the White House. John F. Kennedy, elected president, but there was a pretender, a jester in the White House. And of course, jester is the name of one of the Masonic groups, the Jesters. There's even a housing subdivision in Austin, Texas. And I assure you, you will find that the developers were Masons called Jester Estates. The JFK assassination, think of this. Talk about your virtual reality world, the magic world that the Illuminati plunged America in, like a baptism. I mean, cold, icy water. Or was it actually maybe hot, slimy, gooey baptism? Of sulfurous, bubbling materialism. But think about the John F. Kennedy assassination. First of all, there was this guy, Lee Harvey Oswald from Oz. They said he was the lone assassin. Then suddenly he was no more because a guy named Jack Ruby. Well, there we have back to Wizard of Oz again, because remember the Ruby slippers? That little Dorothy, what did she have to click them three times? Little Masonic numerology there. Jack Ruby. Jack, of course, has long been a secret name of Masons. It's known for its sexual connotations. Jack Ruby. His real name, of course, wasn't Ruby. If I can remember right, it's Rubenstein. Ruby Stone. We have a lot more for you when we return. We're talking about the occult Kabbalistic rituals of the Illuminati and the end of America. I'm Tex Mars. Stay with us. This is Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. You know, we've just published this book, The Synagogue of Satan, and I'm sure the hounds of hell are going to be after us, but we don't care about that. We want you to know the truth, and here is 320 pages of truth. 320. Actually, I believe it's 321, but I wanted to make sure. No, it's 320, exactly. Okay. Oh, I'm being kept straight here. I'm just a virtual talk show host today, I guess. Okay. I wrote the foreword for this book. I know it was me that wrote the foreword. I recall writing the foreword to this book, and I think you'll enjoy it. You know, I always enjoy, as bad as some things are, I enjoy them just because they're true. I enjoy knowing the truth. Then you can prepare for the worst. And then you're really not fearful at all. You know why? Because you're protected by truth. I don't know how God does this, but he does. He says the fearful will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't go around being fearful, but I do go around being informed. The truth shall make you free, and there is liberty in knowing the truth. I want you to have this book, The Synagogue of Satan, $24. We'll send you your personal copy. Hey, we'll send you a whole case. If you'll help us out with $20 a book and call, we'll tell you how much it costs per case. Might even give you a discount for that many. But this is a book everybody needs. Give it to your pastor. They'll probably kick you out, excommunicate you from the church. But even then, dear friends, you know, the Bible says that blessed are you when men persecute you. So count on it. Jesus said, count before you make a decision to follow him. You better calculate the cost. Well, The Synagogue of Satan, $20. Please add $4 for shipping and handling. A total of $24 for the book, The Synagogue of Satan. It's about this topic, the secret history of Jewish world domination. The Jews, Texmar says, but wait! The Bible warns of the synagogue of Satan, which is composed of them which say they are Jews, but are not and do lie. Ah, we have a riddle. You know, God always has loved riddles. And it's interesting that he explains his riddles only to the wise who believe in him. The rest of the world, I'm so sorry, but I didn't make the rules. But God confuses people who think they're wise, who think they're so smart. They think they've got PhDs. They think they've got college degrees. And I've met them. I taught at 3 universities. I've met hundreds and hundreds of these idiots. I mean, gentlemen, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, that have PhDs and all kinds of different doctorates. And they're so pompous. And you know, of the things that are true and of God, they know nothing. And they believe what the media tells them. And everything they do is based on a lie. But the Bible says they will believe the lie. They'll believe the lie. Because they will believe a strong delusion. And you know, in today's program, that's what we're talking about. Magic being used by the Illuminati and its organs to hoodwink. That's right. That's what they call it in Freemasonry. To hoodwink the masses. And what is this but a strong delusion that comes upon the whole world? And Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, in his book, The Synagogue of Satan, exposes, unmasks the very group that brings about this strong delusion that has brought us a virtual world of unreality today that we think is real. The whole world thinks it's real. They believe what you see on Fox, CBS, ABC, CNN, New York Times. It's all real, but it's baloney. It's nothing. It's poof magic. The Synagogue of Satan. Just out, hot off the press. Hey, before the SWAT teams come in and take all the copies we have, you better order you a copy now while you can get it. You never know. Oh. Some people say, I'll text you, just like to joke a lot. Well, I'm not joking about that. I don't doubt it at all. With this Bush neocon police state of the synagogue of Satan they're setting up. And if Bush doesn't do it, well, Hillary Clinton is ready to take the bull by the horn, so to speak. And think about it. Bush has given her a police state unparalleled. Thank you, President Bush, for making it possible for Hillary to be one of the greatest monsters of all time as a future president. Well, let's give the folks our phone number, of course, to get the book, The Synagogue of Satan. 1-800, toll free, 1-800-234-9673, 1-800-234-9673. Please call during the workday up to 5:30 p.m. Central Time. Or you can write to us, send us a check or money order. This will cover all the shipping and handling and postage, $24. And just say, text, send me The Synagogue of Satan. And I'll send you, not exactly The Synagogue of Satan, but a book exposing The Synagogue of Satan. You don't want The Synagogue of Satan. You just want the book. And it's the first that takes you historically all the way back to the 800s, to the mystery kingdom of the Khazars, all the way up to today. All right? The Synagogue of Satan by Mr. Hitchcock. And now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about the global Illuminati, but about their magic and how they have been able to shape reality through thought, evil thought, that they bring about through ritual materialism. You know, two polls came out this week that I found of great interest. First of all, a poll of young college students found that more than any other generation, this generation of college students is selfish, self-oriented. All they think about is me, me, me. This is truly the me, me, narcissistic generation. They said this generation is narcissistic. Not only are they narcissistic, they really think they're something. They think they're somebody. They've been lied to so much, and they've been told, you know, everybody is a winner. There are no losers. I mean, there's some schools out there. We used to have 5 or 6 cheerleaders. I know of schools out there that have 100 cheerleaders. Everybody that goes out becomes a cheerleader. You can be fat, tall, big, ugly, short. You can do it. Maybe you can't even make any yells. Maybe you look like a blooming idiot out there. They don't care. Maybe you work hard. You know, there used to be those girls would just work. They'd kill themselves to be cheerleaders. Not kill themselves, but it was a real talent. But now, I guess in some schools, if you can shake your back in or something, that will get you in, which is bad enough. They've turned it into almost like, you know, here's our strippers rather than our cheerleaders. But beyond that, anybody can be in. They don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Now, when I was a kid, I won a few trophies for sports. Not very many. I wasn't that good. I probably got what I deserved. But I go visit kids now, and there's some 14-year-old kid. I go in his room. He's got a whole wall full of trophies. Man, what did you do to deserve these? Oh, here's one for swimming. What did you do? Did you break a world record? No, I was on the team. I never swam, though. I wasn't good enough. Well, what'd you get a trophy for? Being on the team. Really? That's ridiculous. Here's one for bowling. You must be a good bowler. No, but I showed up most of the time, went down there and just bowled. They gave me a trophy. You know, I feel like taking all those trophies and putting them in a big trash can, garbage can, and telling the mother, your son doesn't deserve all this. You're telling this kid he's great. He's not great. He doesn't even care. He's doing nothing. He's a lazy lout. But, you know. Now some people are going to write to him and say, I text, you don't feel sorry for these people that don't have talent. Yeah, but hey, come on. You know, when I went to college, I made straight A's. I graduated summa cum laude. But I want to tell you something, friend. Somebody said to me recently, boy, you must be a genius. No, I worked. Other kids were in fraternities and they were out playing around. Guess what Tex Morris was doing? He had 100 books gathered around him. He was staying up all night studying, working hard. It wasn't brains. It was hard work. It was persistence. They asked Thomas Alva Edison how he was able to be so successful. All those inventions, they said, you must have great ideas. He said, no, I had a lot of ideas. For every 1,000 ideas, only one pans out. The other 999, though, have to do all the work. The same amount of work for the one that does do good. I work harder than everybody else. I bet he was right. But today, did you know another poll that shocked me, didn't shock me really, but it just made me mad, was of teenagers, young teenagers. 31% of the teenagers poll believe that someday they will be famous. That's about one out of every three. Yeah, someday I'm going to be famous. Well, what are you doing to get there? Well, nothing, but someday I'm going to be famous. Reminds me of a guy I met one time. He was pool cleaner. He cleaned pools. Owned his own little company. He was the only guy there. It was a one-man company. Cleaned people's swimming pools. He said, boy, you ought to see the mansions, some of the mansions I've seen. I go clean their pools for them. Boy, they've got million-dollar mansions. I said, well, work hard, and someday, who knows, maybe you'll have a mansion like that too, for, you know, like the people whose pools you clean. He's, oh, no, no. I'll never have $1 million like that. He's, I'm going to win it in the lottery. I'm going to win it in the lottery. That's how he's going to get his mansion. And you know, I saw that man not too long after that. He lost his company. He said, you know, those people just wanted me to do too much work. I'd be sitting around home. They'd call me and want me to come fix their pools the weekend. I ain't going to work no weekends. I ain't going to work no evenings. I just closed up that company. Now I'm working for $6 an hour for someone else. But I assumed he was still playing the lottery. He put no legs on his dreams. No legs at all. Someday he was going to be rich. Well, even the Bible tells you, watch out when you have those kind of ambitions. It would be better not to strive to be rich in the first place. But he did. But he didn't want to do anything to get there. He was a lazy lout. He was probably one of those that his whole bedroom was full of trophies when he was a kid that he didn't deserve. Everybody gets a trophy nowadays. But listen to this. 31% of the young people poll said someday they're going to be famous. They don't know what for, but someday they're going to be famous. 51% when they ask young high school people, what do you want to do with your lives? What profession do you want to be in? You know, when they used to ask in my generation, they'd want to be a policeman, a fireman, you know, a president, a nurse, a doctor, you know, something. 51% of today's youth want to be a celebrity assistant. I want to be an assistant, man. I want to be an assistant, a celebrity assistant to some rock and roll star. I'd like to work with Britney Spears, be her assistant. Or Lindsay Lohan or Paris Hilton. Yeah, I want to be a celebrity assistant. Why? The poll asked them, why do you want to be a celebrity assistant? I want to learn how to be a celebrity. Learn how to be a celebrity. Learn how. You know, I'd have been very frightened when I was in the U.S. Air Force if I had spoken to a fellow officer, a pilot, and said, why are you here? I'm here to be a hero. Uh-oh. Yeah, that's why I'm an Air Force pilot. I want to be a hero. Let me tell you what, that's a future dead man. Not only that, he's going to make me dead. Don't get around a man that wants to be a hero. Heroes don't have the ambition to hero. They're thrust into situations where they are heroes. But that's the story for another day. Now back to this JFK assassination thing. Isn't this some kind of a strange thing, a Wizard of Oz tale? President of the United States murdered. We all know it was a conspiracy, but no one's ever able to get to the bottom of it. But Lee Harvey Oswald shoots him, they say. But then he's shot in turn by a guy named Jack Ruby, real name Ruby Stone or Rubenstein, who, as it turns out, years later, we find was a member of the Jewish mafia. And the day before he murdered Oswald, He spent a good part of his time, he claims, praying at the Jewish synagogue with his rabbi. What were they praying about? That he could shoot straight? I don't know. And then the lead lawyer, one of them for the Warren Commission, by the way, the Warren Commission was led by Gerald Ford, a 33rd degree Mason, talking about a cult magician there. Ford, a 33rd degree Mason, and he was rewarded for all of his lies and his magic on the Warren Commission. Mr. Warren was the chairman, but Ford was one of the top members of the Congress. But Gerald Ford was awarded, you know, he was given the trophy that I told you about that kids don't deserve, by being made president of the United States later on. But one of the lawyers, a young lawyer at the time, was named Arlen Specter. And boy, did he make a specter of things. He created a story about a magic bullet that turned around in space. It went through one guy, turned all the way around, and went and hit another guy. Killed JFK after doing some sneaky little turns. Now, that was a magic bullet. Mr. Specter came up with that. Then they did an autopsy, which was a strange deal. And now it turns out that people have gone to look at the autopsy report, and the section about JFK's brains is missing. You cannot read the JFK autopsy report. The section having to do with JFK's brains is missing. But that's not all. They said that not only is the written report about JFK's brains missing, his brains are missing. His brains are gone. Nobody knows what happened to the brains. Are they in a jar somewhere? Did some Kabbalistic rabbi somewhere have JFK's brains in a jar on his bookshelf? And does he and his friends laugh as they drink and have their sexual orgies? They look up and say, hey, there's old JFK's brains looking down on us. I believe that's true. Somebody recently did a story in a magazine talking about Einstein's brains. They've got them in a jar. The poor guy's brains in a jar. And I thought, a man without a brain, that's a scarecrow. That's Wizard of Oz again. We're back to the Wizard of Oz. He had no brain after they took it out in their Jewish Kabbalistic occult ritual. And then there's the witch. Who is the witch? I don't know. Maybe Jackie Onassis. Oh, I'm sorry. Jackie Kennedy. She proved herself a witch. First, she was the white virgin goddess. Then she became the black virgin, you see, in the occult world by being witchy and marrying this evil old Aristotle Onassis guy from Greece. A billionaire, of course. Jackie O. But at the end of her life, Jackie O somehow was living with a Jew. Mr. Maurice Templeman, I believe it was his name. How did she end up? The wicked witch, Jackie O, who had before been the great, wonderful, loving, you know, fairy godmother, and then suddenly she becomes the witch by marrying this Aristotle seedy criminal sort of a guy. And then suddenly she ends up in her latter days. Amidst all of her books, they said she had one of the biggest occult libraries in New York City in her apartment. Had a huge room full of occult and Kabbalistic books. And her lover, or live-in, or whatever, was a guy named Maurice Templeman. It's all just too strange. It's virtual reality. It's not a real world we live in. And that's why 51% of the young people want to be celebrity assistants. I don't want to be a doctor. That's too much work. I don't want to be a lawyer. I don't want to be a policeman. They get shot at. I don't want to be a military guy. They get shot at too. I know. I'll be a celebrity assistant. But look at the celebrities. They haven't done anything. They're famous for being famous. What has Paris Hilton did? Well, her boyfriend took a video of them having sex, and it went all over the world on the internet and made her famous. She's famous for being famous. There's a book out now. Number one on the, I think there's a book out. I know there's a video out. It's the number one video in the world. I think there's a book out too, or that's coming out, called The Secret. The Secret. Now, the producer of this video, this documentary, The Secret, was recently on the Oprah Winfrey Show. And she and Oprah said, we're going to tell the whole world the secret. If you've got the secret, if you know the secret, the whole world will be your oyster. Pluck it open and the diamond is yours. Well, no, wait, it's pearl, isn't it? Ah, well, it couldn't be a diamond if I say it's a diamond. We're living in a virtual reality. After all, Mr. O'Brien told poor Winston in the 1984, how much is 2 plus 2? Winston said 4, and they shocked him, they punished him, they tortured him. How much is 2 plus 2? He says 6, 5, anything, whatever you say, I'll say it. They said, now you're getting smarter. Now you're learning. 2 plus 2 is not 4. It's whatever we say it is. It's not a pearl. It's a diamond you pluck out of an oyster. This is a virtual world. It can be anything. And now let's get into the secret. Would you like to know? They say the world is an energy force. And this energy force, which is sort of like a god, this energy, but it's not a person, this energy force is just waiting for you to call on it. It's like a big Costco. Yeah, that's the way to put it. It's a Costco or a Walmart or a Macy's department store. It's an untapped world of never-ending goodies. How can you get your share of these material goods? Well, you got to know the secret. And the secret has 3 components, they say. Think, believe, and receive. That's it. Think jet aircraft, private jets. Think yachts, sailboats. Think $10 million mansions. Think fur coats. Think jet set vacations to the Mediterranean. And believe, and it'll be yours. It'll come to you magically. The law of attraction. What you think, you attract. You think money, money comes to you. Well, the woman on the Oprah Winfrey Show, she said, I when I go shopping, I just get in my brand new, you know, Lexus or Mercedes or whatever, and I take off. I know there will be a parking space for me waiting. I believe it, and it's there. Everything happens to me. Woo, woo, woo. I mean, this is the wowee stuff. And you know what Oprah Winfrey said? She said, I believe in the secret, the law of attraction. She says, in fact, my whole life, this is the way I've lived. And look what I've got. I've got hundreds of millions of dollars. I've got the TV show. I'm the most famous woman in America, the most admired. I'm Oprah. I believe in the secret. I think, I believe, and I receive it. There are, however, women on the cancer ward of major hospitals across America. They're dying of cancer. Their doctors say you've got pancreatic cancer. You've got esophageal cancer. They say, am I going to die, doctor? The doctor says, yes. You have no chance. What are they to do? Well, they can believe in God. They can say, Lord Jesus, if it's your will, save my life and I'll serve you. Or they can say, I believe in the secret. I'm not sick. I'm well. I believe I'm well. I don't have cancer. And will they be cured? Let's test it. Of course, if you take 20 cancer patients, terminal patients, 30 days to live at random, and you test this and all 30 die. I suppose Miss Oprah Winfrey and the author of The Secret would say, well, they didn't think hard enough. They weren't positive enough. They let it slip out of their grasp. If they had just truly believed, they'd all be alive, they'd be cured, and now they'd be driving around in their Mercedes and their Rolls Royces, enjoying all the benefits of our luxury world.
You know, the Bible says it's appointed for a man to live a certain period of time. And we're going to die.
Everybody alive today and listening to the voice of Tex Morse, you people who are my good friends, I am sorry to tell you, actually I'm probably happy to tell you, someday you will be dead to this earth, but alive if you believe in Jesus Christ in heaven forevermore. You'll be alive in heaven.
But you say, no, I'm not going to die. I believe in the secret. I'll never die. Let me tell you something, friend. 100 years from now, I want to talk to you.
100 years from now, come see Tex Mars. We'll talk about where you're at.
You'll be in a place called heaven, or you'll be in a place called hell. But I assure you, you will not be driving a 2,000 and...
or 3,000, or whatever, don't, 2107 model Rolls Royce here on earth. I grant you that. The secret.
And then we have virtual politicians today. Barack Obama. Who knows who he is? It doesn't matter. They created him almost out of thin air. They needed the perfect candidate. They got a half, I don't know, what is he, half black, half white? Who knows?
Who knows this man's father? Who knows the man's mother? Who knows what he believes? It doesn't matter. He's whatever anybody wants him to believe. And that's what they all are. John McCain last year was pro-abortion. This year he's pro-life. He can be anything that Christian leaders want him to be. Governor Romney of Michigan is running for president. He was for gay marriage. He was one of the leaders of this gay marriage stuff. But now he's somehow changed. He's a new person. He's a virtual governor now that's teaching something new. Everything changes. They're reinventing the world right in front of our eyes through magic. And America doesn't have democracy anymore, but it's okay. It's just an idea. And our founding fathers didn't really have this idea just for this country. It was for the whole world.
And somewhere there's another ruby out there. And somewhere there's another black witch. Her name might be Hillary. I don't know. I was recently reading in, this is Time Magazine, January 22, how to speak like a real Republican. They said that according to Republican groups, they're now saying there are words you need to use. Don't use globalization, use free market economy. Don't say eavesdropping, call it electronic intercept. Don't call it amnesty, call it border control. We want to give amnesty to people. No, don't say that. We want to control our borders. When really what you really want to do is give amnesty to people. I don't believe in eavesdropping. No, don't say that. Say, I believe electronic intercepts of potential terrorists is important. Ah, yes. Just change the words. Orwellian doublespeak. Create a new virtual language. Magic. The world is changed. Bye-bye, American pie. But there's one thing, friend, that changes, that stays constant. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know his name, Jesus, Lord of Lords. This is Tex Mars. Glad you've been with me today. I hope you'll stay tuned each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.